leader said that said of focus, the sharper it is, the sharper you are. So let's talk about focus today. We're in a series in the book of 1 Corinthians entitled Wise Up, Clarifying Confusion with God's Wisdom. And remember, the church at Corinth had so many problems and questions, so much confusion. And the book of 1 Corinthians is a book that is written to bring God's wisdom to their questions and to their problems and to clarify all of their confusion with God's wisdom. And you know, we found that to be true in our journey with them, that there are times when there's confusion, and God's wisdom has been our hope and our help for us as we have journeyed with the church at Corinth through their questions and their confusion. Well, now we're in a section that addresses one subject. The chapters are 12, 13, and 14, but there's one subject addressed in three chapters. Do you remember what it is? You'll read chapter 12, verse 1 that introduces it to us. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. So let me ask you this. What is the subject of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14? Spiritual gifts. Is there confusion about spiritual gifts today? Yeah, there sure is. So in the middle of this discussion spanning three chapters, the Apostle Paul, in the center chapter, addresses a subject that you at first would think has nothing to do with spiritual gifts. Because when you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what is the one theme that comes to your mind? The theme of love. You got it. And you say, love and spiritual gifts? Absolutely. Because the church at Corinth did not have a problem with spiritual gifts. In fact, nobody has a problem with spiritual gifts. If you've been saved, God's given you a spiritual gift, a grace that enables you to serve. Nobody has a spiritual gift problem, but they had a problem that all of us may have, and that is a love problem. So open your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to have us read together this entire chapter. I'll read aloud. I'll let you find it, but I'm going to have you stand with me as we read this portion of the scripture. So let's stand together. We'll read the scripture. Follow along in your scriptures as I read aloud. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love or charity, it profiteth me nothing. And in our series, we addressed this passage of scripture, and we were challenged with this: check your focus. What's your motivation? Because here are people doing extreme things, and yet their motivation was not driven by love, and God says it's worthless. Check your motivation. And then we learned about verses 4 through 7. These 14 manifestations of a love-driven life. Charity, verse 4, suffereth long and is kind. Charity or love envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And when we address this portion of Scripture in two sermons, we learned about a life that is transformed as a love-driven life, and that it transforms four categories of your life. And we learned this, that in the fruit of your life, in time, the fruit of your life will be a manifestation of the seeds in your life. We ask the Lord to help us to check our fruit is it a manifestation of a love-driven life. And then we come to the last portion of this passage that we'll address this morning. And the focus, or the this portion of Scripture, is going to remind the church at Corinth and remind all of us to change your focus. And God says this: charity or love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall fail, shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass or a mirror darkly, but then face to face. But now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, or charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. And if your focus has been misplaced, today God is going to tell you how you need to change your focus. So let's pray and ask God to help us, all right? So Lord, we have so often in life, we get our focus out of place. We are, maybe we're focused on the wrong things of life. Maybe we're not clear in vision. Our hearts get focused away from that which is important and eternal. And sometimes even our giftedness, we get focused on gifts rather than the giver. And so God, unless you by the Spirit help us and help us to see the truth of your book, the Bible, and the reality of our lives in relationship to it, we are stuck. And so we're asking for your Spirit to do a work in us today. Help me as the preacher, and I yield to your enabling help. And I pray for all of us as hearers, as we share this time together, that indeed you would help us and deal with us. And then, as you are faithful to do that, help us to be faithful in our response to you, Lord God. We pray in faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, how are you going to get change your focus? Well, God's going to tell us how to change our focus. First, I want you to notice, to change your focus, God tells us in this passage, change your focus to the enduring quality of a love-driven life. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? If you're taking notes, boy, I'll say it again to help you to write it down. Change your focus to the enduring quality of a love-driven life. So chapter 13, verse 8 begins, charity, love, never faileth. Sustained transformation takes place in the lives of people whose lives are focused on growing in a personal love relationship with God. You say, well, are you sure about that? Yeah, I'm going to tell you. What if we brought in a witness and we say, Brother John, would you give us a witness? Can I get a witness, Brother John? He says, well, I have a witness for you. So I wrote about it in my first letter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. By this we know we love that we love the children of God when we, or this is verse 2, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. He said, yeah, that's my testimony. That whenever you keep God's commandments and you have a love-driven life, it's not a burden, it's a blessing. Well, can I get another witness? Well, Brother Jude, do you have a word of testimony? Well, I have a word of testimony. I'll give you a witness. I wrote about it in my letter. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Does that mean that you just have to earn God's love and be in a place where God loves me? No, it means that I must keep myself in a place where I have a love relationship, that I am rightly related to God's love for me. We don't earn it. We grow in maintaining a love relationship with God. And God reminds the church at Corinth, now listen, there are a lot of things that are going to change, but this is what always you need to focus on. Love. A love relationship. Do you want long-lasting change in your life? Sustained growth, sustained joy, sustained power. Do you want, then focus on a love-driven life, a relationship that is driven by love. The 19th century philosopher, mathematician, intellectual Thomas Carlyle married his secretary. I'm married to my secretary. But I was married first, I'll say. Carlyle's secretary was the secretary first, and then they got married, and she was deeply in love with him, and he was deeply in love with her. But over the years, his work, he was so focused in his work and what he was doing that he, rather than treat his wife like a wife, he treated her like an employee. She was stricken with cancer, had an extended process of dying with it. She was confined to her bed for a long time before she died. And after her funeral, Carlyle went back to his empty house, disconsolate, grieving. He wandered up around the downstairs thinking about the woman he had loved. Eventually, he went upstairs to her room. In the bed on which she had been lying now for many months, and he sat down in a chair beside the bed and he picked up her diary. When she was living, he wouldn't have read her diary, but since she had passed, he reads her diary. And he read an entry on one page that caught his eye. Yesterday he spent an hour with me, and it was like being in heaven. I love him so much. He turned a few more pages and read, I listened all day to hear his steps in the hallway, and now it's late. I guess he won't come to see me. Carlyle read a few more entries, and then he threw the book on the floor, and he rushed out through the rain back to the cemetery, and he fell in his wife's grave in the mud, sobbing, if only I had known, if only I had known. And I wonder if God, before you have to live with regret, if God is trying to draw you back and bring your focus back to a love relationship with Him. Change your focus to the enduring quality of a love-driven life. And then there's something else. You see, I need to change my focus of life. Well, here's something else God tells us. Secondly, change your focus from exalting temporarily functioning gifts. So you change your focus to the enduring quality of a love-driven life, and you change your focus from exalting temporarily functioning gifts. So you're watching the news, and all of a sudden there's a banner that comes across the TV screen, and the reporter says, I have some late breaking news. Used to be we'd say news flash. And God had a news flash for them. Some late breaking news that He had information that they hadn't thought about, that was new information to them that He wanted them to know. It's a spiritual news flash about spiritual gifts. In fact, he tells us about them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. We read, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He names three revelatory gifts. Gifts in which God is communicating His truth to people. You'll notice the three of the gifts. There's prophecy. And we've learned that prophecy is God directly revealing truth to an individual that that individual would pass along in the church. Then there's another gift that's named. It's the gift of tongues. Now remember what tongues are. It is God revealing truth to an individual in a foreign language, a language not previously known to that individual, but now God giving them that a word in that language to communicate to the church. There are others with the gift who would interpret that, who did not know that language, but would interpret it, what it would mean. So there's tongues or languages. And then there's a third gift that's named, and that is knowledge. Now, knowledge of the three is the one that has less information, less data, and it's harder to ascertain. But knowledge, evidently, was spiritual insight that God revealed to an individual. So he names these revelatory gifts, but here's the news flash. Are you ready? The news flash is this: they will all cease. So whether there be, again, chapter 13, verse 8, whether there be prophecies, they shall fall or shall fail. Describes it, they're going to come to an end. There's something that's going to happen, that in the end, something will occur that will cause this gift to stop functioning. What about tongues? Those languages, speaking an unknown language, pretty impressive. But what about those? They shall, you'll notice verse 8 again, they shall cease. In fact, the way it's structured grammatically, it means this: they're just going to stop in and of themselves. It's sort of like stylish fashion fads. Nobody knows where they come from. They just start somewhere, and everybody starts doing crazy things with their hair, with their clothes, whatever the stylish fashion fad is. And I keep up with these. I'm driven by fashion. Now, you all know I'm not driven by fashion. But he says, you know, it's going to be just like those fads. Tongues, it's here, and the next thing you know, it's just going to stop. It'll just fade away. Like some of those fashions. In fact, you go into your closet, you pull them out of your drawer, and you say, who in the world, why did I buy that? And then there's what about this knowledge? Well, it too. Just like the prophecies, there's something that's going to happen, and they will, how does it say? They shall vanish away. You see, the news flash is that for this church at Corinth, Paul's saying, you know, the gifts you're emphasizing, and boy, they are fantastic, and oh, they are dynamic, and I mean, they get a lot of public attention. A word from God, let me tell you, God told me something, and you're speaking like, wow, that's impressive, and oh, let me tell you an insight that God gave me, and you're putting all your emphasis on all of this, but listen, those things that you're emphasizing are going to fade away. They're temporary, but the character of your life is going to endure. The quality of the person that you are will endure. And you're putting all your emphasis on stuff that's going to fade away rather than on things that last and matter in eternity. The person that you are. And in fact, in that church, all these gifts that were so outwardly impressive were creating, even though the giver of the gifts, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Spirit, the giver of the gifts intended those for blessing, but it became a source of division and pride and confusion rather than blessing, because there was such a focus on the outward and on the display and all of this. And they missed the heart of love that drives everything else. You know, isn't it easy to do? People get all caught up in their gifts and even in talents, and they get caught up in all the externals. But my friend, if that's all you have is the externals, you're not going to have sustained growth. You're not going to have joy, sustained power. There has to be a heart driven by love in a relationship that makes everything else. And in your life, if you find that your focus is on all the externals and all the things that get attention and the things that people say, wow, look at that, you've missed it. You've missed it. So for this church, and for us all, God wanted to let them know they needed a change of focus. So how do you change your focus? Well, you change your focus to the enduring quality of a love-driven life. You change your focus from exalting temporarily functioning gifts. And then you change your focus by examining how God reveals His truth. You change your focus by examining how God reveals His truth. You see, Paul wants these people to see that there's a big picture that they can't see because they're so selfishly wrapped up in themselves. So he shares with them in seed form that God is revealing His truth, and He helps them to see that God is in the process of doing something wonderful that you're missing out on and the joy of it. And He does so with a series of contrasts in verses 9 through 12. And He tells us about three stages of how God reveals His truth. God reveals His truth in those times, even to today, in these three stages. The first, stage one, is this. It's called the, or I'll call it the infancy stage, if you're taking notes. It's the infancy stage. The infancy of the church in the apostolic area. So we noted verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues or languages, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You see, God is revealing His truth in a way that will cease at a time. And He tells us this for verse 9, for we know in part, that's the gift of knowledge. And we prophesy in part, that's the gift of prophecy. Now remember that we are told, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Those who had a very specific role in the beginning of the church, leading, communicating God's truth. And God is revealing His truth in these early days with these temporary gifts, with temporary offices, intended for those early days in the church, in which the church and the church at Corinth was part of those early days. Remember, temporary gifts, temporary offices or roles that God was using to reveal His truth in the church and through the church in those days. It's the infancy stage. Well, then there's stage two. God reveals Himself and has revealed Himself through that infancy stage. Then God reveals Himself through the maturity stage. We read about this in verse 9, 10, and 11. The maturity stage of God's revelation in the church age. Now, these two stages are explained and compared with two contrast. We read about one in verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. You see, he says, you know what? There are people that are sharing. There's knowledge that God gives. It's not all the knowledge that there is. It's not all the knowledge we need. But at times, God gives us the knowledge we need at the time. But it's not complete. It's partial. And we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So there are times when God raises up someone with the gift of prophecy, and they say, God says this, and it's confirmed by others. And okay, so we know that God is doing this, but it's not complete. It's partial. But then, verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part, when you think perfect, think complete, When that which is perfect or complete is come, then that which is in part, that's partial, shall be done away. You see, God reveals himself in this maturity stage, and the Corinthian church was living through it. There's partial revelation. We're getting different things. But he says there's a time when there's going to be a complete something that God is doing that will be complete, and all of these temporary things are going to pass away. Now, here's my question. What is that which is perfect or that which is complete? What is the complete and perfect expression of the revelation of God's truth? Is there, here's a question, is there a source that God indicates would be the final authority and expression of his truth? Is that so? Yes. What is the source that God says in his own book that God says is the final authority of the expression of his truth? What is it? The scriptures. And God indicates that there will be then this final authority, the scripture. You know, it was that way with the Old Testament. There was never a question among Jewish people when the last book, Malachi, was written. There was never a question that this is the final authority. And God revealed himself in this book, the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's the same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture, that which is written, is given by inspiration of God. It comes from God, and God has written it down. This becomes the final authority. And in fact, grammatically, it reminds us that there is a something that is a thing that is coming. And when that comes, all that permanent, complete thing comes, all of these temporary gifts are going to be given away. And God is comparing apples to apples. And he said, there is something. But what is it? It is this book, the Word of God. Did the church at Corinth, did they have in their hands, in their church, did they have a copy of the complete revelation of the written word of God? Yes or no? No. In fact, whenever when Brother Paul's letters, they had a church meeting. Hey, Brother Paul sent us a letter. And let's read. They're reading a portion, but they hadn't read it all. Not yet. See, they were in a time when they were going from infancy to maturity. He describes it with partial versus complete. And then there's another way he describes it. Would you look at your Bible again? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. For then, but when that which is perfect is come, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He compares or contrasts immaturity with maturity. You see, there are some things that are made for children and babies. And the word that's described there as a child is a baby or a little kid. Now, do we have any babies here? No, we don't have any babies. Do we have any babies? Riley, are you a baby? No, you're not. I don't think you are. Are you a baby? You're not? Okay, Natalie's not a baby either. But y'all used to be babies, right? Do you remember when you were babies? You don't? Well, I remember when you were babies. Why don't you remember when you were babies? Well, you know why? Because you were babies. There are some things that babies, they're babies, right? When you girls were babies, you had things like diapers, and you had things like baby rattles, and you had things like pacifiers. You had your passy, and your dad still needs a passy once in a while. You know, throw it at him. But listen, when you kids, we're watching you grow up, and there are things that when you were little babies, but you don't do that anymore, right? I mean, you're growing up, right? And it would be weird. Wouldn't it be weird if when you get older and older and older, you still have your pacifier, you're walking around? Wouldn't that be weird? And there are some things that are toys that they're going to enjoy now. But you know, in 3 or 4 years, they'll look at that and say, well, that's for little children. That's not for us. We're big girls. We're growing up. You'd say, well, of course. There's some things that are for children, and there's some things that are for adults. And when you grow up, you realize that there are things that you put away, and you don't do the pacifier, and you're potty trained, right? Are you potty trained? And you're potty trained, and now you get to read, and now you have all kinds of new things. And as you get older, you realize that there are more things that I'm growing up in. And the church at Corinth, God wanted to know, listen, when you were as a baby, there are ways that I'm revealing myself to the church because it's the infancy, but I want you to know that you need to grow up. You're so focused on these gifts, it really is a sign that you haven't grown up. It's time to grow up. And today, do we need to have these spiritual gifts of languages and of prophecy? And all? Do we need that today? Well, no. Because now we've grown up and God's given us a book, the Bible, and we don't need that anymore. We put away childish things. Now you have to stop and think, what does that say about somebody, even in our dispensation, who's confused about some of these gifts? All right. And then there's a third stage in which God, or in the way that God reveals himself. It is the glorification stage. And you've noticed your Bible again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 12. And then verse 13, or verse 12. For now, we see through a glass or a mirror darkly. He's talking about now. Now there are things we understand, but we don't really get it. A glass is a mirror. Don't think of a mirror as the way it would be. We would look at the mirror that you saw today. Think of a mirror in that day as polished brass. You ever looked at polished brass and looked at something made? And you can see yourself, but it's not completely clear. It's not nearly as clear as your mirror, or if you're like Hannah did, she uses her phone as her mirror. I saw her do that yesterday, right? She looks at her phone and looks at herself in her phone as a mirror. That's pretty clear. He said, you know, right now, it's like looking in that mirror. We look at that shined, polished brass, and we see ourselves, but we don't see exactly clearly. It's a little dim. It's a little dark. It's not, and that's the way it is now. So we see in part, but we don't see everything clearly. And in fact, he reminds us, we have that now, but then, and he looks to the future. But then shall I know, even also I am known. And he looks forward to a time when we will see very clearly. John tells about it in his first letter, 1 John. I'll turn there in my Bible. You're welcome to turn if you wish. 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, this is verse 2 and verse 3. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that's Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He looks forward to a time when we will see Jesus face to face, and we're in heaven, and we understand all of these things. It will be known clearly, but that's not yet. It's the glorification stage. It is the glorification of the church in the eternal age. And so for this church that was so confused, he said, let me explain to you how God reveals himself. And do you think in this world, in the day in which we live, and you go to some of the Christian television shows that see many of these gifts exercised in a way that is not consistent with the scripture, or your friends that go to a certain place, or this is the church, do you think that if they would really take a look at what God says in this passage and understand the way God is revealing himself, do you think that would save some confusion and some disappointment Yeah, it would. It really would. Well, then there's one more thing you need to know. Change your focus to the enduring quality of a love-driven life. Change your focus from exalting temporarily functioning gifts. Change your focus by examine how God reveals His truth. And change your focus with an examination of your motivation. And the Apostle Paul comes full circle and he begins or ends the chapter where he begins. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith. Faith is the personal response to God's truth. It's important. In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And hope. Hope is personal confidence in God's truth. And charity or love, that is the proper motivation by God's truth. And while faith is important, and hope is important, and love is important, the greatest of these is what, church? Love. You see, Paul ends where he began. A love-focused life. Jesus was prophesying about some days that would one day come. They haven't come yet. What it would be like when he would come again to the earth. You read about this, Matthew 24 and 25. It's called the Olivet Discourse. And Jesus is telling about what will one day happen. Is that the Olivet Discourse? Yeah, Olivet Discourse. And he's just preparing them. And he's, I want you to know that this is what it's going to be like. And these are the kind of things that are going to be going on before I come back to the earth again and reveal myself. And he says something there that is makes one line that is very challenging. This is Matthew 24, 11. The love of many shall wax cold. It's not only a prophecy, it's a warning. That our love could wax cold. And maybe you, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, God the Spirit is dealing with you because your love is waxing cold. It's growing cold. And God the Spirit is dealing with you and bringing you back to a love-driven life. And it's time to confess it. God, I agree with you. My love's growing cold. I don't have a love-driven life. I repent. And I'm asking you to restore my love. If you've not yet received Christ, you know He's calling out to you to respond to His love. I confess I'm a sinner without hope. I turn from my sin and put my faith in Christ and receive Him. His love gift. So I wonder, how do you need to change your focus to have a love-driven life? Would you stand with me, please? While you're standing, we will go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, I thank you for the love that you have demonstrated by revealing yourself, the love of Christ that paid the ultimate price and constrains us and draws us and even drives us. And I must confess, Lord God, that for my own self, I can't speak for anybody else, but for myself, it is easy, I find, for my love to grow cold. And to this end, I need your help. And I'm sure there are other brothers and sisters who I would imagine have the same challenge that I have. And so help us, Lord, with your power to change our focus on our love relationship with you. And then if there are those, even in this small congregation this morning, who truly have never received your love gift of eternal life by receiving Jesus Christ, oh God, today, bring them to this point, we pray. Now, before I'm done praying, I want you to stop and think, and I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, do I need to change my focus? What needs to change in my focus? And so, Lord, to this invitation, we give it to you and ask your will to be done, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Alexander is going to come, and David Bennett, last month we talked about this is his first in a series of books on spiritual gifts, and this is the first one on unwrapping the gift of mercy. There's a hardback here. Also, the books are, you can get a hardback or you can get a paperback, and I want to just remind you about that. And over the coming, I don't know how long it'll be, but over a period of years, he wants to release this set of books on all these spiritual gifts. So get the first installment. All right, Pastor Alexander.
Just a few announcements to let you know about. We are looking forward to several events this week, including our visitation. Our O-Team will meet on Thursday at 6:45. So O-Team members, be sure to be there. The ladies' pool party is Tuesday evening. So ladies, you'll want to know about that. You'll see the details there. Men and boys, we have our men and boys camp out Friday afternoon through Saturday afternoon. If you have any questions about that, please see me today. Children's baptism class will start Sunday, July 22nd. This is for young people who want to learn more about baptism, those who are thinking about baptism and planning on it. And then Starting Point class, this is for folks who want to learn more about what it means to be a member here at Stanley Heights. That's immediately following this service time. It's going to be in Pastor's office. So this is a great opportunity for those who want to learn more about Stanley Heights. We are looking forward to having the Sutphins with us this evening, our missionaries to Uganda, and they'll be presenting their ministry this evening as part of the service. Wednesday night, we start our summer ministry fellowships, and those are going to be running for 4 Wednesday nights. This is going to be smaller groups meeting in homes, and then one group will meet here at church. And if you haven't signed up yet, please see Pastor Basinger. We need to get you placed in a group there. There is going to be a meeting for the leaders and hosts after the evening service in the choir room, so you'll want to know about that. Other things you'll see there, there's a bridal shower coming up, there's another neighborhood Bible club at the end of the month, and then a scripture testimony service. You'll want to take your bulletin with you and make note of all these dates. Pastor Basinger is going to come and close our service with a song.
Let's sing together, Oh How He Loves You and Me, together. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.